Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Nick Bumgardner from The Athletic will be with us at 8:30. We'll get into all things NFL draft with him. You know, geography gets people fired up around here. Text line is just rolling right now with what is West Nashville, what's not West Nashville. A lot of people arguing with you that there is, in fact, South Detroit, and tweeting out pictures of maps.
Yeah,
and
some fake
alike.
Map.
Yeah.
Whoever's sending me these fake maps that show South Detroit, you are full of it. Or you're in places on the internet where you're getting bad information. I know that's a crazy thought. There's no South Detroit. I will stick with that. Now,
somebody said there is a South Detroit. It's Ontario.
Yeah, there you go.
Windsor.
Southwest Detroit. Or yeah. Southeast Detroit.
Southeast.
Yeah. No, Southwest. Good job. Good geography by me again. So I will tell you, now I agree. Some people are saying it's actually like you get to Belmead, Bellevue. That's a stretch. West Nashville is like Nations and that area. Sylvan Park. Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
But I've just heard people call it Sylvan Park or Nations. South Asheville, Antioch. Okay.
Yeah, like there's but South Nashville.
I typically just call it Antioch, but okay, sure.
That's Nippers right. Corner, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Davidson County.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. If we're going to call that all West Nashville, South, fine. I'll
Keith
start
is upset
doing that.
That we're calling West End the Vanderbilt area. So that's Midtown. West End's called Midtown.
But see, Midtown is just a little bit right next to it, right? That's how I've kind of viewed it. Midtown is up a little bit, and then West End is actually Vanderbilt, and right?
Just telling you what Keith is upset about.
Okay.
Joey from Bellevue says that he lives in West Nashville. He says, I say that I live in West Nashville, even though he's Joey from Bellevue.
Okay. All right. I'll adjust.
Have some of that, Rex Road.
I will. Hey, you guys want to roast me? That's fine. Now, of course, I've got Goofball on the YouTube chat saying, oh, your obsession with Jared. Jared brought us up yesterday. Okay. And also, then Robbie, brought him up earlier. I just was reacting to things. But I have Jared texting me. He says, give me an example of Rand, quote, knowing ball from his tenure as GM. That's not the point. I'm not saying he's a good GM. The point is, even early in his tenure, you're like, these guys, Brinker, they don't know anything about football. Again, like they've spent their entire lives in football. So I'm not saying they've done well. Lots of people fail in the NFL.
Sure.
But you might, again, want to have a little bit of self-awareness when you're talking about people who don't know football who have spent their entire lives in football.
Maybe so.
Just a thought. I know. Radical. Radical thinking here.
Man, these people in the YouTube chat are getting after you, too. Just Rex Rose is getting cooked everywhere right now. Yeah, cooked on the YouTube chat, cooked on the text line.
This is probably a stilly burner. Yeah, you bring him up. Dude, I promise you, Jared brings us up way more than we bring him up. Way more. It's insane, his obsession with us.
By the way, Justin has reminded me on the text line, it's not really Blink-182 in the cover. It is a cover band, I believe, if memory serves me correctly, like from Facebook, that covered Blink-182. Covering the Journey song. Really some good talent there.
Honestly, I don't know anything about that band, but they're better than Blink-182. So
all of a sudden that band has improved. Now that Joe knows it's not Blink-182.
As long as it's not Blink-182,
like, wow,
we're
good.
They
sound a little better.
Yeah, they might be a little better than them. Big League Design says, why are we talking about this geography crap when there's a draft coming up? Listen, geography is very important.
We did have people on the YouTube chat earlier like, you guys – I think we were talking about Tennessee finding a quarterback.
Yeah.
We got the number one pick this week, and you guys are spending time talking about this. Like, well, here's a shocker, buddy. They're going to take Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. I got some breaking news for you.
I mean, but it's fair. We've barely talked about the draft.
Yeah, so. we've never discussed it.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Brendan from Madison says he's a downriver transplant here. Anyone who says South Detroit is all caps insane. Thank you, Brendan. It's not a thing. But I like the song. I like Journey. I hate Blink-182. There we go.
Somebody asking if the West Nashville topic is going to become the Robbie and Rex Road version of the right tackle story. I doubt it. We'd have to put in some serious work for the right tackle story.
John in Springfield said, a lot of people do jobs they suck at, LOL. Yes, for sure. Again, I mean, it's the idea that, whoa, what did Rand do that was good? That's not the point. I mean, but like you're saying someone doesn't know anything about football as a radio gas bag. I'm a radio gas bag. I understand my limitations, okay? We all have roles in life, you know?
We respect Bill Polian.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again,
I just find it funny how much he's been on Jared's show lately as a topic of conversation.
I absolutely respect Bill Polian, and I find it's too bad that Jerry Rice disqualified himself with his 40 time. Chris Carter disqualified himself with his 40 time. DeAndre Hopkins disqualified himself with his 40 time. Devontae Adams disqualified himself with his 40 time. Cooper Kupp disqualified himself with his 40 time. Mike Evans disqualified himself with his 40 time. My God. Imagine how much better Bill Polian could have been as a GM if he didn't have that stupid rule.
We did have one texter earlier. I believe it was Eli from Smyrna ask us if we've heard anything about Brock Purdy becoming the quarterback for the Titans. I have not heard. I don't think that Brock Purdy is going to be the next quarterback of the Titans.
Wow.
Although he was, you know, I mentioned Kittle being at a Preds game a couple weeks ago. Purdy was there. Purdy was in the suite with him.
So is that the genesis
was it
of this
a
rumor?
Recruiting pitch? I'd say, hey, here in about a couple years.
You when, throw
when,
to me.
When Cam Ward doesn't work out for the Titans, we could be here playing football together.
Maybe. That's got to be where it was, in all seriousness, that's where it was born, right?
I would think.
The rumor, yeah.
Well, he's in Nashville. He must be interested in the Titans. I think that he's going to make a lot of money as quarterback as the San Francisco 49ers.
I think so. That's going to be interesting, by the way.
Yeah?
All of that. The way that team's kind of unraveling a little bit and – we're going to find out how good he is. A lot of people supporting South Detroit, by the way, that it's not a thing. My wife's from Detroit, born and raised. Yeah, like we can all agree on that. Someone asks if Nashville is South Detroit. It's getting that way.
Kevin from Hendersonville says, will Cam Ward make his permanent residence in West Nashville? Maybe so. Be a heck of a drive to the facility, though. Like, you'd have to you get around it, though.
Yeah, it's all right.
And most of these guys live in what, Brentwood?
Yeah, I mean Where did Aaron build his little thing? It's not that close. Whenever he inevitably becomes a Titans quarterback in 2028.
Thompson Station or something
it's
like
land
that?
Land somewhere. Yeah.
Way
raw
down
land.
There. Yeah. It's fine. You can get there.
Has he built the house yet? It's just an empty plot of land? Has he got a house there yet?
I think it is, right?
I don't know.
I thought that there was at least a framework on the
ground. I have no idea. We need to get Stilly down there and check it out.
Don't bring him up. You brought him up. I'm not bringing
him
up.
He's the one that brought up the Rogers, you know, makings of a compound down there. So we'll
give him credit for it. Yeah.
See if he's there at this point. A couple people have asked about Dante Thornton, going back to those comments. There was one comp that somebody threw out there of Marquez Valdes-Scantling for Dante Thornton. I don't hate that. You know, a guy that's really fast that sometimes has trouble catching the football. I'm really interested to see where he goes. Like, TD's talked about him a lot. Could he end up going in, like, the third or fourth round? Like, to me, that's purely traits-based if he does, because the production really wasn't there at the college level. I know last year at Tennessee he averaged, like, 25 yards a catch or whatever it was. He just didn't catch the ball all that much, didn't get targeted all that much. And, again, the guy – can't stay healthy. So,
and look, we've talked about the offense. Don't want to overdo it there, but you know there is a lacking route tree with some of these guys. And essentially, whenever I saw Dante Thornton make a play, it was just a straight up go route, you know, with a wide split. He's got the speed, but yeah, I'd be very hesitant. Someone sent me the link. Now there is a link about the Titans and Purdy. But it's like SI.com, you know, SI has Sports Illustrated, of course, you know, they have a lot of these, I forget what it's like the Maven stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so Grant Cohn, who I've never heard of, I just read about the Niners and just kind of just wrote this speculative piece here. But yeah, like there's nothing actually real about that. So, but this is what happens too. Like SI has made like it's SI, Sports Illustrated,
right.
You know, link, and it's like basically aggregation and speculation on some of these things that really don't amount to much.
615-737-1025, our phone number. I got a lot more of your draft thoughts to get to. We'll do that coming up next on our phone and text lines driven by Wilson County Hyundai NickBaumgartner.com. Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic will be with us at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on The Game Nashville Sports Network. We're broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Madison on Thursday and Friday, Boom Boss Pizza and Watch Bar in East Nashville. Joe Rexroad will be in the house on Friday. Looking forward to that.
I believe it's Chase McCabe, Chris Sanders, and me.
Looking forward to that coming up on Friday. Coverage beginning at 6 o'clock each day. Presented by Hardee's, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Twin Peaks, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Shane Co., and Professional Home Improvements. Again, Thursday on 102.5 The Game, Friday on Sports Talk 8:30. So we've got you covered all week long here for the NFL draft. Speaking of the draft, we'll have Nick Baumgartner coming up at 8:30, a draft expert for The Athletic. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Del, I'm interested, you know, there's an idea, and I heard a couple of people discussing this on ESPN yesterday. Schefter wrote about it, which we talked about to begin the show. Like, could there be a run on receiver toward the end of the first round, into the second? And if so, what does that mean for the Titans? So, you know, you've got your guys like Egbuka, Burden. We talked about those two a lot. Could either one of those guys sneak out of the first round and be available by the time pick 35 comes around for the Titans? Like, to me, if you're sticking and picking, it's probably going to be, just based on the way it looks like the draft board could be headed, it's probably going to be receiver or edge rusher where you've got some good options there, which, frankly, is what the Titans need to have some good options in, receiver or edge rusher. I think you can find both at 35 if you stick and pick. The real challenge is going to be, can you trade back and still end up with both? Like, there's a way that you could trade back, you know, maybe in the 40s. Maybe you go from 35 to, you know, 44 or 46 or whatever it is. But can you pick up another pick there? You know, we talked yesterday but with Corey Curtis about Kyle Kennard. Like, could he be available in the fourth round? Maybe. Like, I'd have my doubts that he makes it that far back, but we'll see. We'll see what that looks like. I think it is, and TD's talked about this, I tend to agree. I think it's easier to find receivers later in the draft that can be impactful than it is edge rusher. If you're just going position by position, you want to have high, as high as possible, but like, you can find receivers scattered across the league that were taken in the third round or the fourth round or the fifth round that are good players in the NFL. You do not find as many of those at edge rusher. Like, Max Crosby would be the one guy that's a later round pick that you really point at.
Yeah, more examples for sure of receivers, you know, sprinkled around the middle of the draft too. Have come in and made a difference, made more of a difference. Yeah, to me, I keep going back to at 35, the, you know, so again, I'm looking at, like, I'm looking right now at Brugler's seven rounder that he put out, I think, last week. And he's got the run going at, like, Dart to the Browns at 33, Milroe to the Giants at 34, and then Shuck to the Saints at 40. But that, to me, that would not be good, if Shug is there and the Titans are there. So let's say you play it out, 33, Dart goes, 34, Milroe goes. You got your run on quarterbacks. So now, does somebody love Shuck enough to look at 35 and say, well, the Raiders are sitting there at 37. They didn't take they took Ashton Jeanty or whatever in the first round.
Right.
They haven't taken a quarterback. You figure they probably, want a quarterback. So, like, if you're the Saints, rather than sit there and pick at 40, do you try to get up to 35 to beat the Raiders to him? I mean, this is just obviously a scenario I'm completely making up. But I think – I mean, there could be other positions, too. There could be a player in another position that a team just really wants, and they're like, crap, the Jags are going to take somebody at 36. We got to get to 35. But I just feel like the quarterback scenario is – that's where you see the run sometimes, and it does feel like this draft could provide a pretty big clump of, second-round quarterbacks. So then, if you got the Saints at 40 – And then you could also, I'm looking at the, what else they have, you know, so you'd get 40, which obviously isn't moving back. And, you know, could you get 71 from them into the third round? Get 40 and 71 instead of 35. I mean, yep. If you could do that, that's a great thing for the Titans. The Saints also, by the way, they might try to trade you 93, which they got from Washington. They've got two picks in the third, but there's an example of something that could materialize. And, yeah, maybe you're still better off because whoever you could have gotten at 35 is going to end up being just a better player. But the way this draft is evaluated, that kind of scenario, to me, would be a big deal for them to be able to do that.
Well, and then specifically with receiver, if you're the Titans, how different is your evaluation of, I don't know, an Emeka Egbuka to a Luther Burden, or from a Luther Burden to a Jaden Higgins, or, you know, Jalen Knoll, who could be around there too? I mean, what's your, you know, Jalen Royals, who we've talked about? Like, what? How different is your evaluation when it comes to those guys? Like, is there a big gap between a Burden and a Jaden Higgins in your mind? Like, you know, one guy that we've not talked a lot about that we get asked about on the text line is Trey Harris. Like, how does he factor in? In terms of the wide receiver, like there are a lot of guys that are going to be there at 35. What's your evaluation look like on those guys, and what's the difference between a Burden and some of these other guys?
Right. Yeah. And again, some people are down on Burden. You know, I mean, look, I watched a lot more Burden in his career than I watched either of those Iowa State guys. You know, I mean, Knoll here. Looks like a mid-second round pick, the way people look at him. Like you said, Royals from Utah State. Yeah, the Trey Harris thing is, and by the way, in his mock, he's got the Chiefs at 63 getting Trey Harris, so he'll go there and be pure lightning. You know, he's another fast, but the offense is a big question. Higgins is a really good player. There's no doubt about that. So, I don't know. The Burden, some people are worried about his route running and everything. I mean, I'm sitting here watching, like, practice video this week of Luther Burden running routes that teams have been asking for. We need more.
It is amazing, like, the difference in evaluation with these prospects. And we talk about it all the time at quarterback. But, like, there are some people concerned about Burden's route running. And then you got Chris Collinsworth a couple weeks ago that basically said, yeah, I think he's a better version of Deebo Samuel. It's like, okay. Like, it's a pretty wild opinion variance there on all these guys.
And that's what I'll say, and I'll put myself in the same boat with a Collinsworth. Is Collinsworth doing the nitty-gritty work on this stuff?
I don't know. He's involved with PFF.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Maybe. I have no idea.
Maybe. I mean, it's easy. It's very easy to watch film anymore of anybody, you know. But – yes, even with people who do the same amount, there's still, like, we're looking at. So, I mean, I'm trying to think with, it's like TD and I, you know, on Travis Hunter. I mean, TD is down on him as a man corner. Yep. You know, I think he's going to be one of the best man corners the NFL's ever seen. We'll find out who's right. The truth will probably be somewhere in between. But he's like, Tet McMillan cooked him in that game. So, I feel good about that one, but even at the top of drafts, you got an executive who thinks Cam Ward is not a first-round prospect, not a first-rounder.
Right. Forget number one overall. It's not the first round.
And the Titans are about to tell us why they took him number one overall.
Right. Did you see where Brugler has your boy Scadaboo going?
No, where?
95 to the Chiefs.
Oh, my God. They're going to win the next 10 Super Bowls. Holy crap.
Hey, come on down, Cam Scadaboo, to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, so we've got Trey Harris at 63.
Yeah.
You got Cam Scadaboo going then, and Josh Simmons, they do need an offensive tackle.
That'd be something.
That'd be pretty good. Patrick Mahomes would be pretty happy, I'd say, if he got – like Patrick Mahomes with a power back. You don't think of that offense as anything but a pass catcher, you know, in the backfield. I mean, Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt could run with some power and was a good all-around running back. But Cam Scadaboo with Mahomes? Oh, my God.
He's got Kyle Kenard going in the fifth round to New England. Like
round.
If Kyle Kenard's there in the fifth round, the Titans need to jump all over that.
What am I missing on Kyle Kenard?
I mean, he didn't test well. So But I mean,
but fifth round?
Fifth, yeah. I mean,
fifth round testing?
Sometimes don't you just have to look at what a guy did and say, yeah,
it should matter.
I feel like that could probably be a big factor at the NFL level.
You would hope.
Hey, here's what I don't understand. Like, this is just me, and maybe I'm a total idiot for this. This is why I'm not, you know, an NFL football evaluator. You know, there's all this buzz about Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M, who's got all the measurables and he tested really well. He didn't do anything in college. Yeah. Like, there's no production.
Yeah.
I would take Kyle Kinnard over Shamar Stewart, and I know that that's not going to be the way it plays out in the NFL. That's just me, though.
Well, there was a not the same level, but if I remember correctly, you know, Myles Garrett, I remember, in fact, I wrote this in Tennessee, and like, Derek Barnett, I think, had more production than Myles Garrett.
It was close, but yeah.
Myles Garrett still produced, but there was still this, the measurables are insane, but is he that good of a football player? And obviously it's, yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's the same as this, but it reminds me a little bit of that, where it's like, I hear you. Shamar Stewart is fascinating. I know some people think like the Lions are like trying to move up to get him. Some teams are in love with him. Like, yeah, he's there. He's going to make the plays in this league. But yeah, production.
He had four and a half sacks in 3 years.
Yeah.
Again, I realize that sacks aren't everything, okay? But they are something. Like, you have to finish at the college level. So, again, at this point, I'll be surprised if he doesn't go either in the first round or very early in the second. I'd be scared to death of that if I was an NFL team.
Yeah. It's a weird situation for sure. He's a good test case because you've seen, you know, I've seen like Dante Thornton, maybe, you know, he doesn't have the production. He has the skills, and maybe he finds a spot and all of a sudden he makes plays left and right, but that's part of why I'd be afraid of him too.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll be joined by Nick Bumgardner from The Athletic coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. A couple days out from the NFL draft, and to help us talk more about that, we head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Nick Bumgardner from The Athletic. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Phyllis. How are you?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Nick, I want to bring you into a conversation we were just having. Like, we know what the Titans are doing at number one with Cam Ward. We were discussing some other interesting prospects in the first round. What do you make of Shamar Stewart, the edge rusher out of Texas A&M, who has tested unbelievably well, and the production in college was almost zero? I mean, he's got four and a half sacks in 3 years at Texas A&M. So what do you make of him, how he projects to the next level, and how scared would you be if you're one of these teams about the lack of production in college?
Yeah, I'd be nervous, and it really depends on what you need out of a guy right now. You know, if you're looking for a guy to walk in the door and help change your culture and be a guy who's just like a relentless presence right off the gate here, then I'm not sure that, you know, this is your pick, you know, in the top 10. And that's why there's, you know, quite a range on Shamar. He was a 4.59 guy, 40-inch vert, you know, at 270, whatever it was, 6'6", 270, great length. Reminds me a lot of Trayvon Walker, who was the number one pick there to Jacksonville several years ago. And as we know, it took Trayvon a little bit to get going. He had a much better year last year, but it took him a couple years to figure it out. And I think that's going to be sort of the situation with Stewart. And I almost wonder, you know, if he's a guy that starts sliding down the board and maybe one of the teams at the back end who's a little more, you know, built and ready to go, playoff contender type thing, who could bring him in and kind of, you know, curate his role a little bit more. I wonder if that would be more interest for the teams on the back end. But, I mean, athletically, in a draft like this, without, you know, a ton of no doubt blue chip players here, it's impossible to ignore everything he puts together. I mean, he's probably the best, you know, I guess him and Abdul Carter, when Abdul's healthy, are the best athletes in that defensive line class.
So, Nick, as we said, obviously we know QB1 in this draft, we think we know. How do you look at the rest of the group? I'm intrigued by the talk of, you know, Jalen Milroe, who did not play well in the back half of last season at all, but also is a guy that you could build an offense around his skill set. And, I mean, you know, it could be maybe something like Lamar Jackson with Baltimore.
Yeah.
But obviously then you have Shedeur Sanders. People, there's all this buzz now about Tyler Shuck. Like, how do you view the rest of the QB class after Cam Ward?
Well, I think you said it well, intrigued. I mean, that's kind of the class. It's not a flawless class by any stretch. It's not really close to what we saw last year. You know, I do think Ward at the top. I mean, Cam would have been drafted somewhere, I think, around where Bo Nix and those guys and McCarthy went last year. I think he's in the mix there with the latter half of the guys in the first round last year that we saw. But beyond that, I'm not sure Shadur would have been, you know, close to that high. I don't think I would take him with a top five pick. I like him. You know, I think that if you put him on a team with talent, I've liked the fit with Pittsburgh quite a bit. You know, a team that's got some pieces here and there that need some more work, but also isn't, you know, a total mess. I'd like to fit a lot more. But, you know, him, Jackson Dart, and Tyler Shuck, I feel like are much closer together than people probably realize or have written maybe earlier in the process here. Those guys are quality players who all have good arms, have done well in the systems they played in college, but also there's a bunch of questions with all of them, right? Like Shadur, I mean, the footwork, not taking sacks. Is he going to be big enough to handle it? It's a similar conversation with Dart in terms of, you know, he played in an offense that, you know, hasn't really translated well to the NFL, so we'll see. But there's also a lot of talent there. Shuck's older. And then, Joe, you mentioned Milroe, and I think others have kind of called him kind of the lottery ticket of this class, and that if you can put Jalen Milroe in a situation where you give him time and you don't play him at quarterback for like a year, let him grow, let him learn, and let him settle down and get him with a good quarterback coach, then it's conceivable that he could turn into sort of like a, you know, maybe a Lamar or a Jalen Hurts, you know, type guy, faster Jalen Hurts, that type of thing. If you have an offense curated to running the ball, protecting him and not putting him in situations where he's got to do a whole lot to win the game for you with his arm, then I think in time he can do that. But the challenge with him, you know, he's not 20 years old. He's almost 23. He's had 2 or 3 years of starting experience. And like you said, Joe, I mean, it wasn't pretty last year, and that's stuff that we can't really unsee. So there's a lot of guys in this class that could be something, but we're going to have to wait and see. You know, Quinn Ewers and Kyle McCord are a couple others that I, you know, that I've liked in that same vein too. So a lot of talent here, but also not a lot of polish.
So, Nick, there's Donovan Ezeraku, there's Landon Jackson, there's James Pierce. So, you know, a lot of guys, Jordan Birch out of Oregon, that could be mm-hmm. there in that kind of late first into the second round area at edge rusher. What's the quality there? What do you make of the quality of what could be available at that spot at edge rusher early on in the second round?
Yeah, this is a good class for edge. I mean, it really turned out to be. I mean, it's not as deep, I don't think, as a defensive tackle class. I think that one goes a little bit longer. But in terms of the top-end talent in the first three rounds, I think it's really solid. You mentioned a couple guys there, Pierce, Ezeraku, Jackson. I would also mention JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State. You got Jack Sawyer, the other Ohio State edge. Nick Scowerton, who played with Shamar Stewart at Texas A&M, also a really good player and a really good kid, really good character guy. Oluwafemi Oladejo is one that didn't get a lot of love from UCLA, who's another guy who's really powerful, really strong player. I think that all those guys in that group right there are all solid second-round picks that will have second-round grades. Ashton Jalot from Louisville is another solid player. Princey Umanmielian. So you've got, you know, 10 or 11 guys on day two and, you know, second- and third-round guys really that I think could be players that come in and do something right away. Not a lot of guys, once you get past the first round, obviously, that are going to be like, you know, you can put him out there for every down and he's just going to be dominant. But, I mean, guys like JTT from Ohio State, I mean, he's a really solid player, really high-floor player. Landon Jackson, I think, is similar. High-floor player is going to be good. Jordan Birch is going to be a good quality player for people. It's maybe not an all-pro every year or a Pro Bowler every year, something like this, but, you know, guys that can get it done, guys that can help, and guys that can help a team sort of turn things around quickly here and get moving in the right direction.
So overall, Nick, do you look at this like basically you get to mid-first round or so, and from there to mid-third round range, something like that, you're talking kind of like the same tier of player?
Yeah, it really kind of does. Yeah, that's a great point. I think it even goes to, like, if you get beyond, like, the first 12 or 13 players on a board, I think it turns into, you know, you're looking at similar value. You know, I think you're looking at guys that are quality players that can help you, but also a lot of them that have a flaw here, a flaw there, or, you know, room to grow here. We don't know about it quite yet. You know, you mentioned James Pierce is a great example. The kid from Tennessee, terrific athlete, was awesome at Tennessee in pass rush situations. But also there's been a lot of talk about, you know, is he coachable? You know, things like this. You know, there's not a lot of character issues in this class, but there's a couple, you know, out there that stick out for guys. There's all, you know, in every player, you know, we just talked about Jack Sawyer there a second. I mean, he's got the short arms. He's not a great athlete in terms of, you know, comparisons with other guys. So everybody has a little something that you're sort of like, well, you know, I like him, but maybe I don't love him. And I think that kind of starts this year in like the middle of the first round, and it goes on and on. So, you know, there'll be a lot of teams, I think, that would like the idea of trading out and moving back, but I'm not so sure how easy that's going to be, you know, unless you've got players sliding down the board and teams at the back end of the first round want to come up and do it. It's going to be challenging because I do think, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's going to be an eye of the beholder type situation. There's not any real consensus inside the league about who are the top 30 guys. I think they're the closest consensus you'd have or like who's the top 10, and that might even be a stretch. So it's going to be pretty wild, I think, in some ways. I think that, you know, we've talked a lot about only two quarterbacks in the first round. Would not surprise me if we see three or four, you know, if some other guys slip in. Wouldn't surprise me if we see multiple running backs in the first round this year, you know, because it's like, how long do you want to wait on some of this stuff? You know, because again, like you said, it's if you like a guy and you're at 17 or 18, you know, you're going to take him. And if that's a guy that's at 60 on someone else's board, then that's just how it's going to go. And I think that we'll see that a few times this year.
We've also talked some today, Nick, about receivers and 40 times. And some people have rules of I'm not taking a guy who has a 40 time higher than this or that. Tat McMillan is a class example of a guy who looks great on film, didn't run great by any means. Some people think Matthew Golden is, you know, just the better prospect. Obviously, he ran incredibly well. How do you view, first of all, just the 40-time conversation with the receivers, and then McMillan in particular? What do you think happens with him?
Well, I mean, it's not an irrelevant conversation. I think that there's a lot of people who talk about, you know, it's nothing. It's not a big deal. It's not nothing. You know, I think that the importance there that you're looking at is usually the start, like the 10-second split there. Because I think in today's football, with a lot of offenses being quick and having the quarterbacks go through progression spats, if you can't win, you know, off the line with your speed, oftentimes you're passed on and you're onto the next route, onto the next read, whatever it is. And we've seen that from big bodied guys before, you know, and that's why a lot of big bodied guys like Drake London, who is the best comparison probably for Tet McMillan. I don't think Drake ran at the combine, and rightly so. I mean, it was like, he's not going to do it because people are going to sort of overreact. It's not nothing, but it's also not that big of a deal if you're talking about a guy, and I don't think it is a big deal for McMillan, a guy who has really good route discipline, who's won in the slot, won outside, won pretty much anywhere you put him on the field, is great after the catch, great in the air, can adjust to bad throws, all those things, a competitive player. I assume turned down a bunch of money to stay there at Arizona. I think he's a quality kid that wants to be really good. The 40 time for a big guy who's about 220 is an elite, but like, I mean, it's not everybody can be Calvin Johnson, I think, at that size. So it's a little bit of give and take on that. You know, it's not everything, it's not nothing. And I think that's where the tape comes in, and you really have to use that as your default and how you're judging a guy. And McMillan, you know, last year was good. I do think he was dinged up. The year before that was elite, was amazing. I mean, if you look at his tape from 2023, it was ridiculous. So I do think there's a lot there. I think he's a really good player. And he's one, I think, that if he starts sliding again, I think he could be a guy that somebody at the back of the first round says, hey, we're a good team, we can take the chance, let's go get him. Maybe he can be the guy that pushes us over the top to either win a playoff game or get further in the playoffs, whatever it may be. So I like him, and I think that the 40 time is one of those things where it's, you know, it's evolved over the years to where it's relevant for some positions, it's not for others. I think for a receiver it is relevant, but it's not the entire, you know, conversation.
Well, Nick, really good stuff, man. Really appreciate your time, as always. Thanks so much for being with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Totally, fellas. Take care.
Nick Bumgarner, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road from The Athletic. We'll react to what he had to say, also get into a move from the Tennessee Volunteers at quarterback that took place late yesterday. You didn't go into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Appreciate Nick Bumgarner for being with us on the program. If you missed it, go check it out, Robbie and Rex Row, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, thegamenashville.com. Adam Bingen was with us earlier in the program as well. Joe, a lot more coming this week on the NFL draft front. We are now, according to the counter on ESPN, 58 hours away from the NFL draft coming up, so we're getting closer. Woo!
All right. We made progress during this show.
We did. The Tennessee Volunteers have found a quarterback. Joey Aguilar, who was at App State last year, the last 2 years, transferred to UCLA to be the starting quarterback at UCLA, and then Nico Iamaleava ends up at UCLA. So now Joey Aguilar at Tennessee, according to reports yesterday, which means that what has basically happened here is Tennessee and UCLA have traded quarterbacks as we head into the 2025 college football season. Joe, what do you make of this move, this being the landing spot of where Tennessee has found their next quarterback? And is Aguilar the unquestioned starter as a senior heading into this year? Do you think Merklinger still has a chance to win the job? How do we view where Tennessee's quarterback room currently sits?
Imagine a week ago, or I guess 2 weeks ago, telling Tennessee fan, hey, how about a trade of your quarterback for UCLA's quarterback? What would the answer be? The answer would first be, who the hell is UCLA's quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the kid from App State. Okay.
I don't think there would have been a ton of excitement.
Yeah. And look, it's I said this earlier. I would take him over, like, say, a Steve Angeli from Notre Dame, who is just a quarterback they keep not wanting to play for them. I mean, the guy has played and has done some good things. You dig deep on the numbers. You know, I don't like the last year, the 55% completion. Don't like that. Now, it was 63 the year before that.
It's a pretty massive drop-off.
It is a pretty massive drop-off. He also dropped from 33 touchdowns to 23 touchdowns, and he went up from 10 picks to 14 picks. So he had, you know, his rating was 20 points worse in 24 than 23. Anybody out there who pays close attention to App State football, offensive line fell apart, receiver, I don't know. I'm asking, but – you look at those numbers, again, against Clemson, for example, he's like 18 for 41. I think you had to add somebody, and it's good to have him in the mix. He's got some talent. I still right now would put my money on Jake Merklinger starting the opener for the Vols. But I think you needed something beyond, even though George McIntyre I think is going to be a good player at some point, he's a true freshman, and I think you needed to bolster your depth. I know that's not exciting for Vols fans. I think the Vols did try to get to pry a more proven power four starter away from, excuse me, from a team, and they obviously did not get it done.
I would put my money on Aguilar being the starter, and I think there's a chance as the year goes on that maybe Merklinger could either unseat him at some point or because of play you make a switch at some point. I said it earlier in the show, I think Tennessee in the aftermath of all this is probably about an 8-4 team, maybe somewhere in that neighborhood, 7-5, 8-4, which I know is not exciting coming off the year of making the college football playoff. And look, frankly, you know, the excitement level from last year when you made the college football playoff was, this was great, this was awesome, and now Nico's going to take a huge step next year and we're going to get back and you're going to be a threat when you come to the college football playoff. And right now, where their roster is, I don't feel that way. Now, maybe he can. I will say this has the opportunity to be hilarious. Like if Aguilar comes in and plays great for Tennessee and Nico is not good at UCLA, it has the opportunity to be quite funny.
Oh, yeah. So you put your money on – so maybe we should make a bet. Should we have a bet on this? I mean, I said sure. I'd put money on Merklinger. You put your money on Aguilar.
To start the season.
Yeah.
Game one against Syracuse. Yeah, I'll go Aguilar.
Okay. What are we betting? More pizza?
I guess pizza that more we pizza? Will never eat.
Yeah. When are we going to have that pizza?
Well, it would help if the place in question was ever open, and, you know, in an actual hour of the day. But yeah,
we should almost give a free ad just to complain about this change in hours.
It's like, wow,
but not quite.
You guys operate a business where you're never open. It's amazing how that works.
1 hour a day. Come on in. Hurry, hurry.
It's crazy, crazy.
Okay, pizza, pizza, right. And beer.
That's what we'll do.
All right, that's my currency.
You know, I'm interested to see how that goes. And now, you know, the portal closes, I believe, Friday. So does Tennessee? Yes. Do they go add a receiver? I think they definitely need to go bring in an offensive lineman somewhere. Just it doesn't even really have to be a starter, but get somebody in there. But I'm interested to see are there corresponding moves now that they've got the quarterback part settled.
To me, it would be good. Add for sure.
Make sure there's no subtracting.
Yeah, that's my thing. It's like, okay, so these guys like Mike Matthews is cool. Nico left, he's cool. I mean, I know that they took care of him. But still, if you're him, it's like, man, who's throwing me the football this year? But as long as there's no subtracting of guys you know they're going to lean on, that's a good thing.
People around that program seem to really like the Merkslinger. So we'll see how it goes.
I think he's got a chance to be pretty good.
We'll see how it goes. That does it for us today here on the program. Chase and Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.